It's been billed as a state visit plus, a red carpet welcome full of pomp and circumstance, just as Donald Trump likes it. As China's most powerful leader since Mao Zedong woos the US president on his visit to Beijing. It's the third leg of Mr. Trump's East Asian tour. He will trumpet $9 billion US dollars worth of commercial agreements his entourage is signing in the Chinese capital, though they would have been agreed anyway. Some hope that he can negotiate better access to Chinese markets for American firms, but observers are doubtful. And then there is North Korea. We'll be joined in a moment by one of the preeminent authorities on the politics of deterrence, Stanford University's Scott Sagan. But first, we know what the US wants out of the Trump visit to China, but what does China want? Jamil Andolini is the Asia editor for the Financial Times, also a former correspondent in Beijing for them, and he's in the Chinese capital this week. We spoke a short time ago. Jamil, this is a state visit plus, Chinese officials have said. What do they mean by that?
The point is to charm and to flatter Donald Trump. The Chinese have worked out that the best option for any country, if you want to achieve your goals with America, is to flatter Donald Trump, flatter his children, feed him hamburgers, two scoops of ice cream, and make him feel welcome, and maybe his policies will reflect how he feels about you personally. So you can see it across the whole of the Asian region. You can see Prime Minister Abe taking him golfing. You can see the South Koreans giving them this huge sort of pageantry, traditional gowns and music and cavalcades. And you can see the Chinese taking him first to the Forbidden City, Great Hall of the People, all the sort of pomp and ceremony that Donald Trump loves.
But nonetheless, there's serious business on the table. We've already heard Donald Trump in Seoul saying that he wants China and Russia, indeed, to do more to rein in North Korea's nuclear weapons ambitions. That will have to be responded to seriously by Xi Jinping, presumably.
Well, not really, because Xi Jinping can basically just ignore it. It's an American problem, as the Chinese see it, North Korea. The Chinese have said publicly that if North Korea attacks America, which is kind of unthinkable, that China would not get involved. But they've left unsaid what they would do if America attacked North Korea in a preemptive strike. So by that, they're hinting that if America attacks North Korea under certain treaties they have with North Korea, that China may have to get involved, as of course it did in the Korean War in the early 1950s.
So Donald Trump is saber-rattling, although in a slightly calmer way than he has been known to in the past over North Korea. Will he really come away with nothing from China on North Korea?
I think he'll come away with substantially nothing, not just on North Korea, but on trade, on anything else that the US wants out of China. If you look at away from North Korea for a little bit, China has been building artificial islands in the South China Sea. China has been expanding territorial claims somewhat throughout the region, and it has territorial disputes with several of its neighbors. India is another great example, Japan, many neighbors in the South China Sea. And if you look at what China's achieved in just the last few years at the expense of America, it's really changed the facts in the region. It now basically accepts that China is the dominant force militarily, economically, and America is basically absent. So you can see that the United States is not able to push back very hard. And so Donald Trump going to Beijing is not going to change that. He's not going to get relief on the trade imbalance. China will just say, okay, you don't want to buy toasters anymore or TVs. That's what you're going to get if you have a trade, embargo on China, because trade's going to dry up and that'll hurt America too.
Mm. The Global Times newspaper last week editorialised that Xi and Trump have the opportunity to jointly open a new chapter in history. From what you're describing, it's not going to be a joint chapter. Is there any prospect that they seriously view the possibility of a future with a joint arrangement in the region between America and China?
So for years now, we've heard about the G2, US and China, and this idea that together, if these two countries can cooperate, then, you could see, as the Chinese say, a community of shared destiny, win-win community of shared destiny. I mean, this is smart rhetoric and smart strategy from China because it's still significantly weaker militarily than America, but it wants to be the dominant force. It is already becoming the dominant force in Asia. So the idea is if they can cut a deal with America to basically allow China to have its own Monroe Doctrine, the idea that China controls its sort of hemisphere, then, you know, that would be a huge win for China. But even Donald Trump, the great deal maker, is probably not quite yet at the point where they're going to abandon the region to China, Taiwan, for example, later Japan, Korea. You know, they're not going to say, okay, divide up, you know, here's the line, that's ours and this is yours.
Jamil Andolini is the Asia editor for the Financial Times on the line from Beijing.